Charles, we thank you for that reading about the compassion of God. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians. It continues our study, our preaching series this fall on Paul's letter to the Philippians. And the reading is from the first chapter, beginning with the third verse through the 11th. Listen for God's word to us. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. It's right for me to think of you this way, about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and then in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the classic cartoon strip Peanuts, there is an episode where Charlie Brown approaches one of his friends and asks her if she is concerned about world hunger. She just shrugs, apparently indifferent to what is going on in the world. Then Charlie Brown approaches a second and a third friend with the same question. Everyone has the same indifferent attitude. Finally, Charlie Brown can't take it anymore. He explodes in his somewhat self-righteous indignation. Well, at least I feel guilty about it. Charlie Brown's reaction to world hunger is typical of the way we often respond to the news. Perhaps we are angry, or sympathetic, or we may be moved by the plight of the world, or disturbed by it. But we do not often act to change it. In a recent article for the Christian Century, Rachel Mann admits her growing tendency to disengage from the news. For years, she considered it part of her Christian calling to pay attention to the news in order to respond to God's world with compassion and service. In recent years, she's been overwhelmed by climate collapse, the war in Ukraine, and the pandemic. Attending to the world leaves her awash in emotions. She feels the need to unplug from her awareness of need and suffering. Apparently, she's not alone. A recent report from the Reuters Institute indicates that people are avoiding news of the world for the sake of their own mental health. For instance, in the United Kingdom, more than a third of the population report that they actively avoid hearing the weighty and troubling news of the world. Man is quite clear. She does not encourage Christian doom scrolling. We do not need to overload ourselves with endless bad news. There's plenty of it to go around. However, man does believe that God calls us to compassion for the world. At the heart of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, she says, is the experience of divine compassion. As followers of Christ, we are called to be fully immersed in the human condition, living compassionately in the world for the sake of Christ. The compassion of Christ is at the heart of today's passage from Philippians. Philippi was a Roman city in northern Greece. It was a major crossroads in its day and the urban center of a Roman colony. Since the founding of the church in one of Paul's early missionary journeys, Paul had maintained a special relationship with the church. Typical of his other letters, Paul gives thanks for the church in the opening verses. What is telling is that this is the longest thanksgiving of all of his letters. He speaks of the joy he has in praying for them, how he longs to see them, how they hold him in their heart. All this from a prison cell. We cannot be sure, but Paul was probably imprisoned in Rome for preaching the gospel and nearing the end of his life when he would face execution. Roman imprisonment was harsh. Several times Paul describes himself as being in chains. Significantly, Roman prisoners were not fed by their jailers. They were in chains, but not fed. Notably, later in the letter, we'll learn Timothy and Epaphroditus have been looking after Paul's needs. Apparently, the Philippians collected an offering for Paul and sent the money with Epaphroditus as their personal messenger. Now it's time for Epaphroditus to return home. The letter is sent as a thank you to the church in Philippi for their care and concern. It's precisely here, as we describe their care and concern, that we need to talk about the nature of compassion. Compassion at its root means to suffer with another person. The experience of compassion means to be so moved by another person's situation that you feel their suffering and are moved to bear it with them, which takes Charlie Brown out of the equation. He felt guilty because he didn't suffer when other people were hungry. He did not share their suffering. In contrast, the Philippians acted to share the suffering with Paul. They gave their funds and sent their own representative, Epaphroditus, on a mission trip to be with Paul, to feed him, to care for him, to be present in his suffering. In the New Testament, the Greek word for compassion is a remarkable word. It goes beyond feelings of affection, even concern. Compassion occurs physically in the stomach. It may be felt as a physical knot in the stomach, or it may be felt like a gut punch or a gut-wrenching experience. It is physical and will not let us go until we do something about the situation or circumstances that confront us. It's not surprising that the word for compassion is almost exclusively used for the compassion of Christ Jesus, or at least the divine compassion. In the gospel stories, Jesus is so moved with compassion for a leper that he touches the man to heal him. Touching a leper was forbidden. It made you unclean. But the experience was so gut-wrenching for Jesus that he had to do something. Similarly, Jesus had compassion for an epileptic youth, for two blind men. His compassion causes him to heal them. In Luke, he encounters a funeral procession and is moved with compassion and raises the dead man. Moreover, in all the Gospels, Jesus feeds the crowds in the wilderness when he is moved with compassion. The story of the Gospels is the story of Christ's compassion. Christ is the one so moved by the suffering of the world that he chose to suffer with us, to bear our suffering in order to restore our lives. In one little book about compassion in the Christian life, the authors reflect on Christian compassion in light of Jesus. Christian compassion, they say, following the compassion of Christ, cannot simply be helping. It's not a gesture of sympathy or pity on those who are struggling. Christian compassion means going directly to the people and the place where suffering is most acute and building a home there. As someone has said, we have to develop solidarity with the suffering in order to know compassion in our own lives. Brené Brown says that it's this understanding of compassion that completely changed her parenting. At first, when she was a young mother, she would dash to her children and try to fix whatever had happened. She would try to cheer them up or apply a Band-Aid so she could get back to her tasks, to her work. When she came to understand compassion as being with her children and sharing their suffering, she started sitting down with them in their pain, rather than simply trying to fix things and get back to life. She says it's harder to sit with people in pain, even with her children, than it is to try and fix the problem. But she's come to believe that is how her children learn to manage their own suffering. Kathleen Norris, another writer that has been very helpful in my own spiritual journey, has written several books about her journey of leaving the church and of coming back to faith. She started her adult career as a poet. She became a farmer, then a teacher. She's discovered that faith encounters depend on trust, a willingness to take time with people, and real compassion. Often, such encounters, these encounters of faith, occur in unexpected places and situations. Over the years, she says that she's become familiar with the ritual of emergency rooms, caring for her aging parents, and then walking with her husband through his final illness. Emergency rooms have brought shared encounters with brave, good, and interesting people who are going through their own times of suffering. Not long before the pandemic, Norris had a mishap and wound up back in the emergency room in a hospital in Providence, Rhode Island. It was crowded with people suffering from the usual maladies, as well as breaks and sprains. During that time, as she got to wait with others, she got to know a tough-looking, plain-spoken garbage truck driver. Out of her own sense of compassion, she heard the story of his life. His emotional suffering seemed greater than his physical suffering. He had given up the freedom and money of long-haul trucking for the consistent pay of a garbage truck driver so that he could get custody of his kids and keep them out of foster care. She asked him if it was worth all that he had given up. "Oh, yes," he replied without hesitation. He told her all about his kids and all of their accomplishments. Norris knew that it was not likely he was ever going to attend one of her poetry readings, and she was unlikely to ever encounter him again on the streets of Providence. But for that afternoon, they were fully immersed in the human condition, and they were the best company to each other that they could have ever asked for. In Philippians, Paul gives thanks for the church, praying for them with joy. They have shared the encounter of faith. They hold Paul in their heart, moving them to ask to act on his behalf and provide for his care. Just so Paul longs for them with the compassion of Christ Jesus. Paul's prayer for them is that love will overflow to the glory of God. All this while suffering in prison in Rome for the sake of the gospel. Today, Christians are still called to show the compassion of Christ in the world. One of the ways we do that in our church is through Stephen Ministry. It's a ministry of Christian caring, demonstrating the compassion of Christ to people who are suffering a crisis in their lives. Stephen ministers sit with you in your time of difficulty. They listen to your story. They support you in your time of need. They pray for you and with you. I hope that you will pray for them, for the continuing work of Stephen Ministry in our church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.